being recorded.
Should be going to the big mic. Okay.
All right, welcome to the AACSC meeting, September 12th. Can't believe it's September already. Jeez. Roll call. Mr. Derek is taking care of that. If you are a guest and you're doing a virtual, please go to the chat box and sign your name and who you represent, please. Any announcement or anything before we get started? We'll jump into the agenda then. We have minutes from the August 1st meeting. I think everybody had a copy of this to review. What is your pleasure?
Not any questions, I'll move to approve as presented.
I'll second. We have a motion and a second to approve as presented. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. We also had a special meeting on September 12th.
August 13th.
I'm sorry, August 13th. This 12th is throwing me at the top. August 13th, we had a special meeting. Minutes were provided. Do we have an official name for that document, Derek?
For what?
This document that we approved. Is there a...
In the special meeting.
What was...
Oh, that was the apprenticeship, registered apprenticeship rules.
Rules.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it had a... type of special language or something for the...
Not yet. We'll see what they do.
They probably will.
Get it. I'm sure it'll do something.
Okay. All right. What is your pleasure on the minutes?
Make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the August 13th minutes as presented. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Abstaining, motion carries.
Have y'all submitted those yet?
Yeah, they are. Well, I mean, they went to our lawyer and they got to go through there. And so I haven't heard yet.
They've started on their journey.
Yeah. I don't know how far in that journey they are yet. So, yeah. As I told everybody, don't hold your breath.
I think that journey started shortly after our review and approval or recommendation. So, yeah, it's been in motion for about 4 weeks. All right. Reports, USDOL. John is not online?
No.
Okay. We'll move down to OSD reports.
So for that report, I just got our basic kind of our starting what our budget is for our TA late lined out there. That's been our normal for quite a few years now. The $1,611,456, of course, our CT balance there, we got at $800,000. We had approved the buckets here down below for outreach and education at $60,000, curriculum at $640,000, equipment at $60,000, instructor training at $40,000. That was what was approved in our funding guidelines for FY25. So we have that so far. Of course, we have our applications here today for our TA, and we do have CT applications also to review. Got about 10 more of those to get ready to start looking at for next month as well. So those are coming in. So that's good. Just kind of reminding everybody, you all know we all ran out of money in basically March last year. So if you got it, and you got the information, the paperwork, get it sent in. So we can make sure to make sure we get you approved. Hopefully with the modern plumbing switch that we did, hopefully that will help reduce some of the overall cost of our CT budget this year when that book is a four-year book versus having to buy a book every year for these apprentices. So should cut us down to first year and some new apprentice coming in, transferring in, what have you. So.
Yes, I agree. Good point, Derek. I know it will cut the cost this year and hopefully flatline a little next year also.
I did talk with John just on another note. Me and him had about an hour-long conversation yesterday. Just kind of give you all a heads up. I know he is planning on trying to review about 20 programs in their physical year, which starts in November. So from November to August, he will be looking at trying to review about 20 programs from what he told me yesterday. So just kind of be mindful of that. If you see something from him, he'll be getting set up with some of our programs at some point in time. Like I said, I don't know who he's going to be doing. Hadn't saw that list from him. He is going to be providing me that list whenever he gets it done, because he has to turn that into his superior for the upcoming year. So, but he hadn't got it ready yet. Like I said, they still go through October and don't start their fiscal year till November 1. So they're a little off as compared to what we are. Other than that, I feel like we might, since our last meeting, we kind of touched on a little bit. Of course, we've had two Arkansas certified pre-apprenticeship programs be approved. Both of them were through ABC. One was plumbing, one was electrical. They have also, ABC has also got their first youth electrical apprenticeship program approved. And I know as of last Friday or something to that effect, they'd already got two of those youth apprentices their license from labor and licensing. So everything is working good there for them on getting those licenses for those younger individuals. Seems like it's going good. Anytime y'all feel like you want to talk to somebody about it, Bill Rochelle would be the man to talk to. I know they're very excited about what they have already seen so far and the social media and all that type of stuff coming to them, inquiring about it, how do they do it, and et cetera. So, and they're hearing it from all corners of the state. Just talked to another person in Northwest Arkansas this morning that was going to be looking at trying to get their pre-apprenticeship that they do kind of on par and making sure everything's good with it. So that's just good for all of our apprentices.
Now, is that a online or is that an in-person, or how's that program set up?
In-person.
It's in-person.
Yeah, go class.
So they'd have to set up different. To do other parts of the state, they'd have to do side.
They would have to do something like that if they don't already have a physical location set up. I know, which Bill could totally speak more about it, but I know their pre-apprenticeship that they've already started, this initial round is basically all at their normal location.
That's good.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it takes off. And I think that can just be just a great thing for all of our occupations. If we can get this in there, hey, we're all getting older. We need that young workforce to be able to come up and take care of all the people that are leaving and retiring. So we need all the help we can get.
Okay. Hey, Derek, no. Rochelle, I'll hop in real quick and add, we put out a Facebook post last week about that youth apprenticeship program. And a lot of you probably are on Facebook, but I looked this morning and that post has been shared over 1,600 times. Our phone and our emails have absolutely blown up. So, and it's from all over the state. So that lets all of us know that, there's a huge interest, a lot of interest out there for pre-apprenticeship in the state of Arkansas. Some of these folks that are looking to get into the trades, we have been overwhelmed by the response.
That's great. That's really good. Bill, if I could put you on the spot, maybe end of the calendar year, you could give this group a status report on the pre-apprentice and the youth apprenticeship and how it's going and lessons learned to date. We'd kind of like to hear from you.
Yes, we'd love to do that. I'll tell you one quick lesson that we've discovered this morning is we've had a couple of kids or had a kid that has applied for the pre-apprenticeship, but the only reason he's trying to do it is to get his internship hours through the state of Arkansas. So that's 120 hours. So we know now with some questions we've got to ask on the front end, but Kelly, I'd be more than happy to do that at the end of the year for sure.
Okay. Ms. Derek, Kathy will put Bill on the agenda for December. So exciting. I'm glad it's an opportunity out there for, like Derek said, to get the younger people involved in apprenticeship. And I state that as overall apprenticeship. So not just the construction trades. So good deal. Mr. Derek, anything else?
I do not have anything else.
Okay.
I have one question. Just remind me. Mm-hmm. So the CT budget, mm-hmm. starting budget, it comes from the trust fund.
Yes.
Tell me again how the TA budget
is appropriated.
It's appropriated. So that's appropriated that specific amount through the legislature.
Yes. Okay. Yep. So if we ever need to get any money, I have to go to them to get more money.
Okay.
CT is
the trust fund.
Yeah, money that comes from permits and stuff.
Yes. Yes. So, for non-residential.
Is that TA amount? Is it set indefinitely at that amount, or do they change it yearly? I can't remember.
It's been that amount for probably 15 years. Got a sheet, and I think I provided it at some point in time. We actually started out closer to 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I remember seeing a sheet.
And we kind of, because we were looking at it and it was kind of up there. Then it kind of dropped down to the 1.8 for a little bit. And then it switched to this 1.6 and it's been just cemented in that amount.
That's a good term.
Just cemented in that sense.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Derek? If not, we'll move on down to review of the TA application. And the TA applications are all listed on this spreadsheet.
Yes. So that one that y'all have right now, that's the one on the first tab that I sent y'all. That's the one with everything basically at 40. The second sheet I had set up to where we have the miscellaneous programs and so forth down there towards the bottom. And I had it set to where I could easily adjust if necessary. If we were ever wanting to think about changing rates, do anything like that, I could use that sheet to play with while we were looking. You know, so just wanted to try to, you know, make sure I had everything ready in case I needed it. I wouldn't have to just try to be doing it while we were during the meeting to make it speed it up a little bit easier. Look down here, of course, kind of going through top to bottom. ACF is not asking for funding for class location 106 this year. So that's why I got a red line through it. They were not going to be seeking reimbursement for that class. If we scroll down that line, between 60 and 61 there, class number wise for NATF, they're adding one new virtual class. They had just one virtual class for year 2. Now they're going to have a 2A and a 2B so they can split that class up. Going on down, of course, our 223, they were not asking for any funding for that second fourth year class this year. So I redlined that one. down towards the bottom of the yellow there. They were, if you don't remember, we had Hill Electric was going to be a apprenticeship program, had already started. They decided they were not going to do it and have now converted everybody back to NATF.
They were year in, weren't they?
Pretty close. They were going to be able to receive funding this year. Yes. Okay. Decided against it. They transferred everybody back basically to NATF. They are now going to have an in-person class there in Farmington at Hill Electric's location. They were adding that class location. As far as added locations this year, we're only really looking at three being added. We'll keep going down. Nothing, abnormal, changing here as we go down through the document.
The NATF forming virtual recommended and request are different.
Yes. They requested two, but of course we only give two per room. But NATF and NWAPS are both sharing the same class for the virtual 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I gave them one instructor each for each class. Because they're all the same meeting ID, same dates, everything. So that's why I had that noted as one. We had done that last year as well.
Same thing. Okay.
Scrolling down, we had added talking with Jonesboro JATC. I went ahead and set this up, and we got to talk about it. It don't matter to me really one way or another. And maybe David could maybe expound on it if he's there. But my understanding is it sounds like they're in the process of trying to expand their facility over there. And so they're having some members go to another location for class until, it sounds like this might only be a one-year thing. It was kind of what I was getting out of, Sandy.
What number is that there?
That's right underneath 132.
Yeah. They're
it's got a yellow out
they've
there.
They've got some on site.
Or on the right.
They are about to build a new apprenticeship training facility to expand.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they're renting somewhere else, some classroom space.
Okay. They're at the ASU Newport campus that we're at. They're there on Tuesdays, Thursdays.
Okay. So I just went ahead since they are, not all in the same area. I went ahead and kind of just set that up as a new class location. So you see that noted there with the 188 for that the Jonesboro Kruger Drive location.
The one right above that recommend 132. The recommended was 6 versus the requested at 8.
And some of that is because of how it was initially kind of set up. Really, if you see here, a lot of this, I also kind of done that just so I could get my numbers right. When it comes, because if you look over to the outside, they had 6 at that particular location. 6 instructors were going to be doing the 188 hours. One was going to be doing 28 hours. One was going to do 48 hours. And then at the next location they have, we had one doing 188, one doing 160, and one doing 140. So as you see, kind of the 160 and 140, the 28 and the 48, they were going to switch locations throughout the year. Certain times, so I just try to set it up that way we would know exactly what's kind of going on there.
I was hoping that made sense to you because I didn't know what it was talking about.
Yes, so because we had to have some conversations about that, but we got that nailed down and figured out how we were going to do it. So that was what's going on there. You see Jonesboro Plumbing, we got one instructor for 68 hours. That's why you see that odd number there of 0.5. Yeah. Just try to get it there. And then it's also just a reminder to me, hey, my spreadsheet don't add right. So that's why I have it. I'm not using the formula on that particular one. So I try to keep myself notes along the way there. That way I know, hey, this one's not going to change if I change something. So we go down more, Fort Smith Electrical JATC. We had already kind of had it pointed out. We had 3 recommended here in this column here before, and it was 4. That was a typo by me. We had had conversations, and then I changed it to the four. So that should be four, is what their plans are.
So the requested amount from them is four?
Yes.
Okay. No, perfect. Perfect.
Going on down, you see, you know, everything's kind of normal there with ACE. NWABS, that's where you see in-person class at Farmington has the two, but every other one was one because those are the ones that are combined with the NATF plumbing location. Moving on down, as you see here, I've already noted the Carpenters Millwright here, JTC in Russellville. They're in the process of like their second or third takeover in about a year. And so the first time it happened, talking to them, they said the new people coming in don't even sound like they even wanted them to even mess with this funding because they didn't think it was enough to even bother with. So then they have another one that came in. So now I'm being told they have another one that's fixing to be taken over. And so they're like, hey, Brian just feels better about not messing with it at all this semester. Maybe next semester he might look at trying to get on, but he didn't want to be trying to do anything in this back they're doing here with other people taking over. So here are some, and I try to show y'all, going by our numbers. Okay. First of all, guys, let's go into that 1 to 10 solved a lot of our problems on the whole structure for this. There we go. All right. Wait, let me get back. All right, there we go. As per our guidelines, if they were going to request more, I told them, we needed to have a letter stating what, why they were looking for it. These letters basically are telling me, how many years the programs are, how many they're going to have per class that they were wanting to try to do here. Basically that's why they're wanting to do it, so they can have them broke out and not have all 4 years in one class. Or vice versa, et cetera. So I got all those letters, but just wanted to make sure I made notes on this so y'all could see those are the ones that we got the letter and I made the note over there on the right-hand side.
So the justification in the letter is efficient enough to go ahead?
Yeah, that's my thing, guys. I can show you what these say. We haven't ever actually... hey, good look, it's right here, stop. We had never actually, kind of pass that around, hadn't really decided upon, ever gave any reason like, hey, we got to have at least so many to split it up. We really hadn't ever got into that conversation. So that's why I had them do that. see that. And that I had them, I wanted to make sure when they sent it to us, they lined it out on how many they were having per year and how that was going to work and why they were going to be having those two.
Well, classes. Having first through fourth in the same class is incredibly difficult to teach. And it's hard. It's not good for any of the apprentices. You've got first year guys lost, fourth year guys bored. So at some point you need to separate them out to where they're closer to where they're, mm-hmm. Where their educational step is, instead of everybody crammed in one. If there's anything that should justify more, I think it would be to split those levels up.
So all these programs put in the request, and then if you had a discrepancy on what you recommended and what they requested, y'all had a conversation, and they all had an opportunity to justify additional.
Okay. Yes. Yep. So, when I look at there, say having six in one, having the nine in class 99 there, just kind of, having six in one, three in another, was just kind of, okay, at least how they have it break up. So I was Just going to make sure we got those letters from everyone like we were supposed to. If they were asking for more instructors than what would normally be allowable based off the numbers.
No, good information. Do not disagree. No. And good comments about, you know, first, second, third, fourth instructors. I think the students get more out of it. If you're trying to teach multiple years in the same classroom, it gets kind of difficult, especially the later years of your apprenticeship.
Yeah, so. You got those first-year guys that don't know anything, and then you got a fourth-year guy in there. You're trying to teach basically what a journeyman should know, and then those first-year people are going to be just totally lost during that conversation.
All right.
As we go down, Pipe Fitters Little Rock there, you see it redlined. They did not ask for funding for that location this year. So that was why it was removed. And then as we go down, kind of finishing off here, of course, like I said, we had the Carpenters and Millwrights. We had BSC was on this list. I removed them because we were going to fund them through our expansion side. So that's why I pulled their application from our TA side. So just to have it out. Also, there's another one down there, National Park College. They're HVAC. They had 11 and they were wanting to use 3 instructors. And then they had them provide a letter just as this as well. Just so we would have that.
Yeah, pass that along.
Okay.
Round two. If you,
yes.
If you would, please. 11 is 3. It's a little 2 versus 2. 8, 17.
Yep, there it is.
17 or 4. 3 or 4.
I had went ahead and added some notes down there just so we could kind of see. Last year, because of not paying 40, we had about $44,676 that went unexpended because of that. We had $185,000 plus not spent because of just not used hours. Based off of that, you know, we had our total amount. Now, that is the total amount for the budget that we ended up with, that $1,804,000, which was way beyond our $1,611,000. By the time all that was said and done, we were still $37,000 short of our actual $1.611 million budget.
That was the balance.
Yes, that was what was at the end of the year. That's what we distributed out and gave everybody. That I can't remember what percent it was now. That percentage for administrative expenses at the end of the year. And then just kind of sum it up based off of last year. Last year we had 5,310 apprentices. When we looked at this time of year, when we looked at our funding sheet, this year we got 5,631. So increase of about 300, a little over 300 apprentices there. So that's good. We approved originally 280 instructors last year. Right now we're looking at 276. And, you know, and also be mindful of, we didn't have one now for Carpenters and Millwrights and BSC. Those programs fell off. Of course, we, you know, Boonville Plumbing and Apprenticeship Program, we approved them for some, and then they never used it at all, and then we pulled the money back. But that's probably why we have a little bit of a difference there between this year and last year. And last year we started, before we added extra later on, we were looking at that $1,779,640 budget. It's kind of where we started the year when we were looking at our funding sheet. So more apprentices, got less instructors already approved for this year at this current time.
So we're 4 short than what we approved last year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be more.
The only thing that really helped us out there is the fact that we had some of those programs that just we dropped off, didn't we, where we funded them before, we didn't this year. So that was kind of where that was, because I think BSC only had one last year. I don't know if we funded both locations last year. I think it was just one last year, two the year before. And then, of course, we gave the Carpenter Millwright group each one instructor for each. So there's three. And then Boonville, we gave him one, so that'd been four. So they're right there. It's kind of back up to what we would have had last year. You know, as far as the number we would have originally been looking at approving. So, you know, as of last year, you know, I was given the opportunity by our director of office skills development, Stephanie Isaacs, to have that additional $200,000. And we used part of it just in case we ever were to actually hit that amount that we set, which we never even had to touch it. We ended up using some of that to reimburse for some of our CT grants that we ran up short that last meeting that we had when we approved them. So this year, I do not have that opportunity. I don't have any extra money. We got $1.611 million, 456. When we hit that, we're done. So I don't have any extra funds that we've just part of the world we're living in at this point in time. So
got a budget, you got to work with it.
Yeah. So looking at our $40 an hour plus keeping everything as is right now, we're looking at the 1.752880. So, you know, about 140,000 above our actual budget. Now, if we take in the account that we have probably 45,000 that's not going to be paid out, now we're down to, you know, closer to 100,000. And, you know, I hate using hours, you know, to say, hey, they're not going to be teaching these hours. I hate to do it and everybody actually teach them. So, and then we're definitely not going to happen. So I hate using that, you know, as far as kind of a crutch. I don't feel so bad on the 40 because it was 100,000 the year before last, 40 this year, 45 last year. Now that is because we allowed people to go above and ask for more than that 40. They only had the $40 bucket, remember, but yet they could ask for 50 if they wanted to. Yeah. You just might run out of money before the end of the year or hours or both. So at that point, so, you know, that one don't bother me that much. I figure we'll probably still be pretty close to that amount. But as far as wanting to say, hey, we're going to have another 4,600 hours not taught, I have a hard time going that far, you know.
So how would that look at the end of it if that wasn't there?
Well, at the end of it, if that wasn't there, I'd say we'd probably be looking at about $100,000 that we would have budgeted for. Right around that neighborhood, about $100,000 that we wouldn't be able to pay out.
I mean, if we say we did it at the 40 and you got down to that point, is that paid monthly?
We reimburse monthly, yes.
So
yes.
It could be that the last few months might not be.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I think my understanding in the past has been sometimes y'all looking at January back in the day, and, you know, we could either one, reduce that rate, which it's a lot of messing with to reduce the rate in the middle of the year and then figure it out versus just keep paying it. And then when we get to the end, and it almost be like, hey, my thought on it, guys, would be, okay, which I'm thinking maybe we could probably get to April, you know, or you know, somewhere around there before we hit that mark. And if that is the case, then I would say, I wouldn't work any for that month yet until I got them all in. And then I could see what we got. And then at that point, figure out how I can pay all of them out all the same rate. You know, just for that, finish off the budget, it would be gone. And then maybe May, possibly April, that we wouldn't have no reimbursement for those months would be my thought, unless we shorted the, you know, amount in January.
And then added instructors in January.
And that's not adding anything.
Yeah. But if we programs have the opportunity to add instructors, in January, and that number, like we discussed, is always very low.
Seems yeah, like, we're usually yeah. three, four.
If it's not two. Well, if it's six, that's
even at six.
What, $36,000, something like that?
Yeah, because we could also only be doing like half the time at that point.
And then half of that,
you know,
be 20.
You know, half the hours, because we wouldn't be funding, at that point, we wouldn't be funding the whole 144 or whatever.
No,
it'd
no.
only be the
no.
70 or 80, whatever.
Yeah, I was taking the number of like
yeah.
6,000 for a full year.
Yes.
So that number is never a big number if they do add instructors the middle, you know, mid-semester. What is the what's the rate of paid out on these numbers, like $35 an hour? Do we know?
Yeah. I didn't expand this. I just hit it to the 40.
Okay.
There's 39.
Sound like 37 covered it.
37, 36, 35.
I just.
So we got 35 on the left, 36, 35, 36, 37, 38,
39, 40. So to be under, we'd have to be 37?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
No, be under, it had to be 36.
36?
Yeah.
1.5?
Mm-hmm.
7, 8.
But also, I will say this to everybody. I don't think I'm going to be able to talk the legislature into giving me more funds if we end up, if they, when I'm having to tell them we're not using all the hours taught, we're not using all that, I'm having to use the rest of it to finish off the budget, I'm having to pay admin expenses to the program that in the year. I just feel like that might be a difficult sell to our legislature to get more money at that point.
Well, as long as we're teaching more apprentices with less money, they're going to let us do that.
Especially if we're paying admin expenses. You know, that's just my thought. Maybe they wouldn't mind.
I hate to set a budget for programs and, you know, it's not knowing what, you know, the later months might bring of not getting funding and stuff. What did they do to come up with this funding for instructors? It's too late to raise the tuition or anything to cover the expenses. Do they shut down the school and not teach the hours? They don't have the money, which they're required to do. So, and there's always going to be money left over, I think. Well, not always. I think Derek, your group has done a great job last year just to come up with a $40,000 budget at the end.
Yeah.
And not spent. I think that's great.
Because we've been closer to 100 to 200,000.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And when you start with a 1.6 million budget and you get down to the end of the year and you got 40,000 left, I think that's great over all the programs that you're.
I mean, that sounds good, budget. But my only problem is we budgeted 1.8 million. That's my problem.
Yeah.
Y'all are having me sit there budget all this money and then you ain't using my hours. So I don't like that.
No.
At all.
You know, it's just like, you know, the last letter that went through wanting three instructors. What if they get down to it and say, we can do that with two? Mm-hmm. Well, there goes hours unused.
Yes. Yes.
And we, you know, we don't really have control over that.
You know, now one of my thinkings there is, guys, which, you know, might help us as far as adding more instructors later on. It's like, hey, after we get through like to November, if we approved you for this many and then I get down to November and I'm seeing all the way up to now, you've been asking for less the whole time. But at that point, it's time for a phone call. And hey, are you going to go get this instructor or not?
Yeah.
If you're not, we need that money because I'm worried about all the apprenticeship programs in the state of Arkansas, not just one particular one. So that funding can be going somewhere to be used by somebody.
We'll sit in the accounting helping any of the schools.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. You said November. Do we do a report in November for a review in in the semester of how many hours you've actually used and why this number is, you know, less. You know, I can see, you know, a little, but if it's, well, one or two instructors, it's you're not even asking for, why?
Yeah, exactly.
And is it going to continue or change?
Yeah.
Now, you know, when I've talked with some of these people this year, program sponsors, I have let them know, hey, we're going to do this. You're telling me you're going to hire John. Sounds great, but I'm going to tell you right now, if I get to November and you haven't been asking for John, I'm taking your money back because you're not going to use it. I have somebody else that will. Also, that helps us with our budget either way.
No, I think that's a great point, and I think it's something we need to put on the agenda for mid-semester of reviewing these and seeing where we're actually at.
Now, because, you know, I got my main spreadsheet that y'all aren't seeing right here. I got about 7 tabs on it. And I got every hour you taught based off your schedule already marked down. And then I keep a track of every hour you asked for on a different tab.
Yep.
So I know exactly what's going on.
Yep.
In through for everybody.
At a push of a button.
So if you're asking, I get your schedule and you say you're teaching X amount of hours, I already know. If you look at my sheet from last year, you see yellow and red. Or nothing. Nothing means you're asking for exactly what you said you were going to teach. Yellow means you're asking for less. Red means you're asking for more. So I just kept track of that, you know, so I would know. And also, since I'm the one having to sign these 236 forms for payment, I want to make sure that I have a good idea of what's going on and why, you know, especially if I see something really crazy, I'm going to call you, you know, hey, why are you at? You really teaching this much more, you know, you only asked for this, what's going on here, trying to figure out what the issue is. Because all that's going to do is end up shortening money, have some issues going to happen at the very end of the semester.
No.
Let's address it.
So, Derek, is November 1 the day that if they haven't fulfilled what they asked for, we start looking at it midterm and then we reallocate? Because I don't see how you can keep from getting at the end of the year with either money left over or it's hard to budget. You don't if you don't have some. Do we have a deadline?
We've never done that.
No, this is kind of a new conversation that we would, you know, entertain to do. Start getting the numbers in November, and then we would look at midterm of reviewing, kind of doing a review of the same information we're looking at, and, you know, actual numbers. Where are we?
Do most schools follow the same schedule?
No.
As far as, I mean, like basic, like most people start in August and end in May.
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah. As far as that goes.
I've heard in the past there were schools in, you know, like North Central Arkansas, you know, where the kind of hilly country, and they would try to get a lot of the school in before December.
Yeah, now
and then they're done or something like that.
Now, you know? Now they used to do that. They switched last year. They switched from that because they were, yes, they were basically done the first semester.
That's what I thought.
But they had switched. So, like, last year, I think, was the first year they actually went pretty much all year.
Okay. Because, you know, if you've got schools that are teaching super heavy number of their hours in the first semester and none in the second, that's going to mess your
– yes.
You know, it's going to skew your numbers also.
But, so, yeah, we don't have any of those.
Pretty much the same.
Yeah, this year. Okay. So, like I said, UACCB was the only one that had been doing that. Where they were getting done basically by December,
right?
But they're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, that would be kind of a unique schedule, I would say. But you could still look at it because, you know, I'm looking at, you know, all these programs and just coming up with a balance of this is what you requested this semester, this is what you used. What's the balance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So and then
with what I'm already doing, that'd be easy to do.
Yeah.
I get that easy.
And I think it's good information or information that we need to review and try to set what is coming for the spring semester. So I think it's a good point.
What on you know, when we used to whatever we set based on instructors, what it went out, there was a pretty wide range of what was being paid. So once the change was made, is everybody pretty well paying what the reimbursement rate is?
No.
They're still scattered.
No, like I said, we were $45,000 last year, didn't get expended. I was $100,000 last year before. The only reason that number was that much of a difference was because we had some programs asking for that above 40. last year. So I had enough of them that kind of squashed that was almost 100,000 down to 45,000 or so. So that's really what kind of changed that. You know, if we weren't going with allowing them to ask for that other, I would say, yeah, I would feel comfortable with that 100,000, you know, that wasn't expended the previous year, as far as saying, yeah, we could probably sit there, but because they weren't paying the 40, we had $100,000 that wasn't paid out between all the programs at that point. Okay. That, you know, I wouldn't mind saying, yeah, hey, 1.711 sounds great. You know, we should still, we'll probably still be under that because that's not including hours on top. But only thing is, where do you put the number on that saying, yeah, we're for sure, you know, this had never been done, guys. So I'm starting to get us some data that we can see now for year after year going forward, where we can see, okay, how many hours we didn't teach this year, that year, and so forth. So I've been keeping track of that since I've been here. So really, especially after this year, we'll have, you know, basically almost 3 years worth of data that we can go back and look at for hours not taught, et cetera. So it's just kind of getting that.
If we think we're going to be upside down in the budget, would you still be able to pay the up to 50 to those ones that aren't? Because, you know, if you paid them more than the allotted amount and then we run out of money, and, you know, they would they not possibly get more than their percentage based on, you know, like if one school's
allowed. You're talking about the very end of the year?
Well, no, it's like if you know, if the school's budgeted for $40 an hour for the year, and we run out of money in February.
Yeah.
But you have another school that was budgeted 40, but they took the higher amount for so long.
Well,
you know, would that not possibly run into a conflict on, like they might get more money than the other school that was.
I can see how that might be thought.
Yeah, if it's set on a timeline like that, yes, they could have spent more money than the program
that was paying 35, 38.
Because, the 50 is going to spend their money quicker.
Right. But they would get their allotted amount. They may match their allotted amount out
before
the other school didn't get their allotted amount.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're. Is that? Oh, it seems like it might be.
Yeah, when we had the additional funds last year, because remember last year was the first year we done that.
Yeah.
You know, allowing them to get more money.
Mm-hmm.
So last year it wouldn't hurt us because we had that additional $200,000.
That's what I'm saying.
In our back pocket. You know,
being possibly short this year, I don't think you could be able to do that, would you?
I mean, you know, that would be up to y'all.
Depends on what we set the rate at.
Hey, Derek, Bill Rochelle, I guess shame on me. I didn't know that you could ask over the amount that we approved. So, you know, I thought, you know, $40 when we set that amount, I thought that's all you could ask for. And if you pay 45 or 50, that's on you, because I've got a couple guys that I pay over that 40, but I never submitted for them to get reimbursed, say, 45 or 50. So. I just didn't know that you could ask for more than the 40.
I'd have to look, Bill, but I think maybe you did ask for that a few times.
But you have a budget, whether you pull it out at $40 an hour or $50.
Yeah, we still have the $40 bucket.
You have a budget. It's kind of worded not correctly, I guess. You have a 40. Last year you had a $40 per instructor budget, whether you wanted to pull it out $40 an hour or $50 an hour, it had a cap on it. So if you got reimbursed $50, then your money ran out quicker.
Yeah, you'd run out.
So you're not getting additional funds. You're just getting funds quicker.
Yeah, being able to get, if you're paying somebody $50, you can ask for all that, but you're going to run out of money before the end of the year because you're asking for $50 and you only got a $40 bucket.
Yes. So I never did really understand that, but why do you want to do that?
You know, I was kind of surprised, guys. I have to say, I don't have the exact number, but I was kind of surprised at how many actually did do that.
Yeah.
Did ask for that additional last year. I was kind of surprised by that because I always make sure to remind them, hey, just remember, you asked for this. Don't be calling me wondering why you ran out of money. It's because you got a $40 bucket and you're asking for $50. You're asking for $10 more an hour than what your bucket allows you. So you're going to run out before you get done. Like I said, the year before last, when we did not allow that to happen, we were basically right at $100,000 that did not go expended because of just the not paying 40. That's because of the additional money that was being asked for above the 40. Still eating money that we weren't, previously.
I would think if we're going to be close this year, we'd probably not want to allow that to do that this year. Because, I mean, you'd want everybody getting the same amount as long as possible.
Mm-hmm. It would. Well, let's go back to agenda item number 4, TA applications. We have an action item that we have reviewed the programs on this list as presented. And we have looked at the recommended request and basically the enrollment, the numbers, instructors. We had reviewed all that information. And I would entertain a motion that we approve this document as amended. We did amend one. Approve this document as presented. And then we'll move down to action 5, which is actually the reimbursement.
The rate. What we'll get into already.
Yeah. So.
One amendment.
Yes.
Number 216.
That's what I have. So I would entertain that motion.
So moved to approve.
A motion and a second to approve the TA applications. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Any abstaining? Motion carries. Now, if we move on down to action or agenda item 5, which, like David had said, we've kind of moved on to into that discussion of approving the rate. The $40 an hour, that would cover basically $1,750,000 to get under our budget, which is reflected on the program sheet. We would have to, and correct me if I'm wrong, we'd have to go to the $36 an hour rate.
Yeah, 36 would get us under the budget.
Would get us under the existing budget at this date. Knowing that this budget will change midterm. To what degree? We do have some best guesses of what it will be kind of at the end of the year. If we set the rate to cover the expenses and then do another, which we've talked about, review of this information midterm and see if we can make adjustments to maybe up that rate for the spring semester, where we'll spend down the money to get a zero balance or closer to a zero balance. So that's kind of what we've talked about, I think. Anybody want to add to that?
I think it's just a matter of would we rather go with authority and reduce it if we have to, or
which is better?
Do it conservative and then add to.
Yeah.
So if we leave, let's say we set it at 35 and we left $100,000 or $150,000 in the account. Mm-hmm. At the end of the year, that'd be dispersed through administrative, 15% administrative. Mm-hmm.
Up to
a 15%. Mm-hmm. But
if they're being paid 40, that's been the approval. I kind of hate to lower that.
Yes.
Because the other thing is, you mentioned earlier, how do we ever show the need? We're reducing the amount we're willing to pay people to teach the class, a quality teacher, but then how do we ever prove we need the money if we're always, if we can reduce ours and make it under that budget? I think that's hard to prove and to argue for when you want to add more to your budget. If you're reducing the amount that you were paying, and it's hard for people to work for $5 less an hour than they were before last year. So that feels like a punishment to them. That's just kind of how I feel about it. I think 40 is a good rate to pay them, and I would hope to see us reducing.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off what Dr. Regan said, I mean, I don't think there'll be anybody on here. I know we won't go back and say, hey, I'm going to have to drop your what I'm paying you now by $5 an hour because we dropped, you know, the State Apprenticeship Board dropped the rate. So, I mean, again, I think the 40, again, I know 36 would get us even, but I'm good with whatever the group wants to do. But we're not going to go back and tell our guys, hey, I've got to drop you $5 an hour now because we've already started class.
And I also have a comment. We have always paid Brad White, our instructor, $38.93 purposely to stay under budget, but also include his benefits. With that being said, we never stop at the 40. We never go over the 40. You know, I would hate to go back and tell him that we're gonna pay him $36 an hour, and I only have one instructor. But before I move forward, I would really need to know where we stand on that.
So you know, and my thing, guys, is we all know how difficult it is to get instructors in the first place. Most of these individuals that are journeymans and masters out there, they're making pretty decent money. So, you know, it can get a little difficult to try to talk somebody into coming to teach at your program for 4 hours a night, take them away from their family, from their other job duties, et cetera, when they're basically only making what they normally make. So I can definitely see how that is a hindrance in getting instructors in the first place. So being able to pay that more, I think that helps kind of keep some involved, you know, at least keep them engaged and wanting to instruct in the first place.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most
instructors look at it as time and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm going to teach, I want time and a half on what my daily job is. So that's a good point there.
I'd be on the side of going with the 40 and maybe, like you're talking, Heath, cap it at the 40 max, so you don't end up until the review. It's at least a midterm review, and then see where we're at. But they would need, if we did that, they would need to know if it don't pan out like it did last year. There is a chance the reimbursement could be less the last couple months,
mm-hmm.
and that's
kind of our
that's all you could do.
And then you can say we had to cut reimbursements because we ran out of money because we used it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I go back to, you know, I'm concerned that people don't turn in their, they put it in the budget, then they don't have it. So I do believe that that would solve part of our budget mm-hmm. issue if we would set, I mean, I'm used to an October 1, you know, deadline. You start school in August, you know what you're going to do all year. By October 1, you check your numbers, and that's when you nail down your faculty and you have your student numbers, you pretty much know. No one's probably going to enter that cycle, are they, after?
Not in great numbers, usually.
Not to change an instructor.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, and then it kind of has people back up and say, okay, I really need to be really accurate and really think this through, because it's easier to say, yeah, I need three when I might, but I've got my safety net here. But we don't need a safety net. We need to know how many so we can get our budget right, because we're down.
Well, this year we added another instructor because we had so many come on. But it's with the understanding that, you know, it's till we see if we're maintaining that number,
mm-hmm.
see how many dropped out and how many stayed.
How long would it take you to do that?
Probably. I mean, we're pretty, I mean, it's kind of leveled off. I would say the next couple of weeks for sure. So October 1st, like you say, first October.
October 1's a decent.
Yes.
These are coming and these are going. Mm-hmm. And
like our school, you know, August, the enrollment's your big number. Mm-hmm. There'll be a few that come in and out through the fall, and then January is when you'll see another, whatever it may be. You know, last year we had a bunch in January. But, you know, by October 1st, middle October for sure, you're leveled off, and you pretty much – it's not a big movement either way. At least that's our experience.
Okay. That's the same for us, Heath. We level off about October, and then we seem to get a little bump again in January. So our numbers run, it sounds like, just like yours.
About the only thing that would change that is probably some kind of major project.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
You know, we got the missiles over there that's upended everything. And, that, you know, that could happen with lithium or something like that. So that'd be about the only thing to me that would.
We had that happen several years back with the hospital build come in. And, you know, when that kicked off, it,
right.
You know, we had a big increase all at once. And, but we kind of knew it was coming. We knew that project was going to be there at some point. So.
Okay. Great discussions. Great. I like the comments about what we paid last year, what they're expecting this year. How do you go backwards? And I agree, we don't need to go backwards right now. I think we need to look forward in the first semester. Set it, just my personal comment, feelings, set it at 40, review it midterm and see where we're actually at on trying to spend the rest of the money down in the spring semester. So I agree with that. So
we're looking at a max 40 for them to still request more. What's y'all's thought?
I feel like we need to cap it. Because my thinking is if there's a possibility that we could run short, if you've got school A that maxes theirs out before school B has a chance to even get their minimum or what they're approved.
You have potential creating equity. We need to lower it all costs.
Right.
Could it be a possibility that at the end, the option is if you ask for more than if the money was left.
That we have allowed that in admin expenses in the past. If you paid more, you could ask.
So that,
that was something that would be
asked. That would solve that problem. There's not any. If there is,
that was kind of a line item.
And we require a level of justification for that. If they've exceeded expectations, then there's possible benefit. So we're requiring a justification for that request, though. If they've exceeded expectations, then maybe at the end they can ask for a little bit more. But
well, first we got to have the money left over.
Right, exactly.
So if we have the money left over, I sent a letter to all the programs letting them know, hey, here's the percentage that can be used across the board based off of what we paid you for the fiscal year. This is how much you would be able to receive. That way, even it would end up getting almost to zero. Okay, by the time I gave everybody 3%, 4 or 5, whatever it is. You know, they would be able to then use that amount and they could ask for that admin expense. They could provide proof of where they paid their individuals 50 instead of the 40. And I would allow them that $10 per that we hadn't already taught them. That documentation could be used to
but again, that's based on actual hours taught. They have to justify that before they would even qualify.
Yes, yeah. Any admin expenses they did, period.
Yeah.
They had to provide proof they needed those admin expenses, whether it's a secretary salary, whether it's extra hours being taught.
Yeah.
You know, I have to have a proof that you actually had that expense, not just distributing out money, not knowing what it's going to. Did you even have that admin expense in the first place?
Right.
Which, you know, I've already ran into classes last year where reason I didn't get it because they don't really have any admin expenses.
Right.
So when it boiled down to it, that they were going to claim.
But to me, that seems like it would let us starve people if we had the money.
Yep.
And if we don't, everybody understands we don't, but everybody got a cap at 40. And what's left over, then there's an opportunity for you here, if there is some. But we're not going to buy them at the budget.
Approximately how many asked for 50? Do you have a number, or do you, that 10, 15?
I mean, as far as that, guys, it was probably, I don't know, just throwing a ballpark out there. It was probably somewhere around 10, 12 programs probably that were actually asking for amounts above the 40. But as you can see, from one year to the next, you know, we were at 100,000 basically the year before. This year, last year, we were at basically 45,000. So we just by that increase of people asking for more money, mm-hmm. it knocked us down half on what we were. Mm-hmm.
Ready for a move? Mm-hmm. I move that we approve the reimbursement rate for $40 for the first semester and that it be capped at $40 and then review at that point.
Second that motion.
Can I have one thing to say? I think we need to change our funding guidelines because that is in the funding guidelines.
The $50?
No, it's saying that you can ask for more than 40 is in our funding guidelines. So we would have to, I would assume, make a motion to change our funding guidelines. Because that's what they say.
Okay. Let me think about that.
Do you have them where you can pull them up? That part of it where we can see
how it's going? Yep. All right. Oh, come on, Ed.
I don't think that'll be.
We don't even have it. Should be connected here, people.
I don't. $10, $20, $50.
Are these the next card?
Oh, hey, here we are. Yep.
What would it be in this?
Hey, Derek, Bill Rochelle, can you still hear me?
Sorry, I was muted for some reason. I don't know what this thing is doing. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know why in the world it muted itself. I wasn't even touching anything.
All right. I'd like to propose a friendly amendment to David's motion that, yes, the reimbursement rate it would be at $40, but there would be no cap. Programs still could still request the $50 for the first semester, like it was last year, under the understanding the money just runs out quicker. And then midterm, we would also review the reimbursement rate, and we would also review the requirements per program for the first semester. So we're making sure the programs are pretty well close on what they've spent the first semester.
So are you saying they can be paid the $50 the first semester?
For the first semester. I don't think it will become a factor until the second semester, as far as drawing $10 more an hour for the first semester per instructor.
You see what it says in that funding.
Say, so guys, I was pretty sure it said that somewhere. I remember that, because that's why we even allowed it the first time. Will be used to pay for instructor expenses based on actual costs incurred for instructors and number of contact hours based off the 36 form. The monthly requested amount will be reduced from the maximum amount of funding awarded to the program. I guess that's just kind of how we had it set up. We didn't see going see anywhere else, but I could have sworn we had something in there.
So it doesn't specifically say they could go, they can request over.
Just understood you run out quicker.
We approved that somewhere. I don't guess it made it in the gap months.
It had to, because that it would have been, we wouldn't have changed, we didn't change that as far as from the last year.
No, you're right.
You know, but
you go back up to three, it points out in that, and I'm sorry, it's two, what we're doing now. And it seems that, it seems that we took pains to make sure that what we're doing right now does take place. I don't know that we need to encourage or allow if we don't have to. I don't know how we handle that, but if it's not written into the rules, I think we ought to strive for the cap. I'm still a supporter of the cap because we jeopardize a pretty significant level of inequity, especially. And I'm not saying that they could, but we don't want to make it where somebody could plan to.
If my options are 35 and no cap and 40 and a cap, I'll take the 40 and the cap.
Sure.
You know, I would think I'd rather have $40 a month with no cap as 35 and, you know, possibly run, you know, and then possibly get more later.
Mm-hmm. Does everybody agree to that? Okay. I will pull my friendly amendment then.
Did we have a second?
I'll second it.
Somebody second it, yes.
You said.
I'll second.
Derek, any other discussion?
So what was, I just want
to
get clear.
We went back to the original motion.
Okay.
$40 with the cap.
And $40, okay.
$40 period.
Okay.
And then we'd reimburse the, or reimburse, we'd review the rate midterm.
Okay.
And actual reimbursement per program of where they're at on their dollars.
Okay.
Or balances.
Okay.
Is that correct?
That's it.
Okay.
You'll probably find it here in a little while. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go back to the one we had last year because I know it was in there somewhere. So then we shouldn't. I'm pretty sure we didn't displace it, or is it the whole fact that just how we had it worded, we're going to allow you to ask for whatever you actually pay your instructor, but you're still only going to, we're going to only set you a certain bucket up no matter what.
Yeah.
I wish our budget was $2 million. We don't have to worry about it.
But we'd have to spend
$2 million. It's not, you know, so.
I mean, hey, 1.8 sounds really good right now.
Sure does.
Yep. All right. We have a motion on the floor. Any other discussion, questions, comments? Everybody's clear on the motion?
Yes.
All right. With that being said, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. Good discussion. Very good discussion. Good, bad, positives, negatives. Very good. All right, moving down to agenda item number 6, CT applications. We have a handout for that Mr. Derek has provided. We have the CT applications in the room. So, we have 11 applications, looks like. So if we have any questions on any of the applications, we can go to the original request and look at the documentation. You also have this on your file somewhere.
They all were recommended to the, what they were requesting.
Yeah, I believe it was the same.
Applications.
That is correct.
Yeah, I don't think everything. Looks pretty well straightforward. We just have one board member that has applications in. Is that correct? ABC?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't have a conflict, so I can make the motion draw in, but if there's no
question. And Kelly, I will abstain on those ABC votes. I may be about to lose you guys, so, but I will abstain on the ABC.
All right, so noted. Thank you, Bill. As far as the equipment, pretty much this curriculum is pretty, straightforward with me. As far as the equipment in CT25-4, what kind of equipment is that?
It's a storage locker cabinet and lumber and plywood cart.
Let me see. All right, home builders, 8, equipment cabinet, work rack,
wood rack.
Basically looking at those two items.
All right. These were classroom, I guess, sets. They stay in the building, they won't be moved.
That is correct.
In one location.
Yep, they're all at their main location here. That's not the equipment sheet.
Two pieces of equipment. Reasons for this, to store materials so they're organized and on the floor. Materials needed for classroom instructors has been laying on the floor and is a hazard. Also need a cabinet locks. And that's very important, yes. To keep supplies separate from the students that use in classroom. Storage cabinets and lumber carts are needed. Prices included. So that's their reasoning for requesting or buying these pieces of equipment. So that's one. The other one, what kind of equipment is Farmer buying?
Laptop.
A what?
A laptop.
Need a laptop computer for instructor for classroom instruction and PowerPoints. So,
do you need a motion to approve? Through Lyme and McGee Electric and then do ABC separate or do we just do them all at one time?
Was going to try to do most of them at one time. I was wanting to go through the equipment and see if we have any other questions and then last and try to do them in groups.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point. So the other equipment on CT25-5 is a computer. Next page, $1,630 piece of equipment. How many computers is that?
Two.
Two, and that's 25. I'm like David, I like to read the justification. What they put in there. Purchase laptops for two Fort Smith instructors. Okay.
I'm sure many years ago, y'all didn't probably think about doing that much at all, but now everybody's went to the PowerPoints and all kinds of things like that. So they're almost must have.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. All right. So that covers the instructors. I mean, the equipment column for me anyway. Do we have any other questions, comments? Like David had stated, the requested amount and the recommended amount are the same.
And one thing I will go ahead and add, we did, every one of these that you see the code books on, they got to give me their list, like we already discussed. So they sent that to me. I'm putting it in one main spreadsheet that I'll have. And then after we actually go through and approve it, then I'm also going to then put it into our database system and check the little box saying that they received the code book. And then, like I said, that plus the main master.
So do we as a school need to check that, or are you going to check it after you do the code book received?
As far as after we, now, as far as that goes, after we approve it, I will actually go in there and do that because I can just do
the one. So we don't need to.
No, I'll just take care of it for you. If I do the one upload, I'm just going to put y'all's information in one spreadsheet, shoot it in there, and
I'll
be done with it.
I'll let Christy know.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks for doing that. I know that's a pain, but.
Well, you know, hey man, copy and paste, copy and paste. I copy all that stuff and I hit a Y and an electrical or a plumbing and we're done.
I think she's done the ones
okay in
ours, but
and that's fine. I mean, because even if I do it, as long as I, you know, I'm putting it in there as a yes, it ain't gonna change it.
No,
at that point.
Yeah.
So if it's already checked, it's safe.
All right. Any questions, comments over the applications?
Nope. Move to approve CT 25, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 in the recommended amount.
I second.
A motion and a second to approve 25-1 through 25-11 in the recommended amount. Any other questions, comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Any abstaining? Bill is abstaining. We may have already lost him, but he's already noted that. Motion carries. All right. Agenda item number 7, open discussion from the board members. Do we have anything to discuss at this time? Hearing none from the board members, do we have any business questions, comments from anybody online? All right, hearing none. Reminder, our next meeting is October 3rd. It will be a virtual meeting only. So mark it on your calendars, please. And I want to go on the record to thank for lunch.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
I appreciate that. Yes, we do. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I take motion.
Okay.